One person from each tribe will use a grappling hook to retrieve 3 bags of balls. Once you have the balls, you will then use a catapult to launch those balls into a series of 5 baskets. First person to get 1 ball in each basket wins reward for their tribe. Here we go. 1 bag, first bag, second bag, first bag, third bag, second bag, third bag, third bag, first ball, third bag. Who will get the ball in the air first? That could be the difference. Ball, the balls, balls, 1 ball.
3 bags of balls.
This is the Extra Hot Grape Podcast, episode 46 for the week of October 20th, 2014. I am Tara's husband, David T. Cole, and I'm here with challenge monster Sarah D. Bunting.
Your mom's a bag of puzzle pieces.
Buff stylist Tara Ariano.
It can be a hat or a brooch or a pterodactyl.
And barely hidden immunity idol, Trip Pain.
Oh, just look in the well, dumbass.
Welcome! First up, very quick note, the phrase that doesn't pay still has not been guessed, so it is...
It's our third week.
...continuing to be in play in this episode. Speaking of this episode and play, Trip Payne is here in L.A.
Hi!
Welcome back!
Welcome back to Trip. He is here because he is covering Survivor for us all this season on Previously.tv, and we thought we should talk to him about it before it gets very inconvenient to do that when Dave and I move. So, let's talk about it. How has the season been so far, Trip?
Boring.
Okay.
I mean, we're still in the early stages, the cannon fodder stages. Mm-hmm. There's, I think, 843 contestants, and we've only lost 4 of them, so a long way to go.
What is the gimmick this season, for those who may not be watching?
This is their second occurrence of Blood versus Water, the terribly titled concept, where you have 2 people with a pre-existing relationship, like on Amazing Race,
right.
Mother, daughter, boyfriend, boyfriend, whatever, and you split them up into 2 different tribes. And on the reward challenge, you always have 1 member of a tribe versus their loved one on the other tribe. And the loser gets sent to Exile Island.
Right.
And that's about it. Eventually they're going to merge and we'll see all the typical family stuff against all the individual stuff. And it should be a grand social experiment is what I'm saying.
So here's what I don't understand. Someone in the episode, which I don't know anyone's names because this was the first and probably only episode of the season that I have seen. Someone says we should vote out somebody who doesn't have a loved one on the other team anymore, which to me seems like the opposite of what you should do. It seems like you should vote out someone who does have a loved one on the other team because you don't want people who have a pre-existing connection when you get to the merge, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was saying that kind of in a self-centered way, I think, because his loved one is still in the game.
Got it.
I think it's something to consider. I mean, there's certainly a point, if the merge is late enough, where the people with where the people who still have loved ones left will be the targets.
Right.
And the people who don't will gang up on them. So he might have just been thinking a little too far in advance about that.
Right. So who this John Rocker person everyone hates.
Sure.
Tell us about him.
John Rocker was an asshole who was a... is an asshole. But he was a relief pitcher for the Braves in the late 90s when I was still watching baseball.
It's the same one?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought it was just someone with the same name.
Oh, no, it's that John Rocker. That's why he was cast.
I had no idea.
Yes, this is a guy who got famous not for his pitching ability, God knows, but because he said a lot of really racist and anti-woman and anti-gay and anti-foreigner things.
New York.
Well, I was going to say, was he the one who was like, I would never ride the subway racist reasons? Okay.
That's the guy. This is also the guy who said that the Holocaust would never have happened if the Jews had guns.
Right.
Yeah, and he's still saying this stuff, like, on Reddit.
Right.
I think he has a column on World News Daily,
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's John
Rocker. Of
course
Rocker. He does.
Yeah. So, gee, why was he cast? I wonder. So naturally, they put him on a team with, you know, women of color and gay guys and, you know, let's watch the fireworks.
Right.
So luckily, we didn't have to deal with that for long.
Right. But his girlfriend is still there.
Yeah.
Speaking of challenge monsters, she's just a regular monster to me. She was scary to me to look at. She's had a lot of work done.
You think?
Yes. Her boobs were like, they had their own congressman. They were so big and crazy.
Even I noticed them, yes.
It's impossible not to. Yeah. She was in a bikini.
Well, and she's in those standard issue buff tops that don't cover anything on the women. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Sarah, you
and
were...
squeeze everything together into this, like, mono boobish thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were happy to see John Rocker go last week.
I was, both yes. Of you? I'm sure that Probst or the other executive producers would have said that he was on there to create a national dialogue or mm-hmm. whatever grand thing. But, you know, we know that's not true. He was just there to cause fireworks, and I don't really care about that. So I'm more than happy to see him gone, and maybe we can get other people with talking heads now.
Mm-hmm. So. Here's a question for you as a student of the game. As Jeff Probst would pompously put it.
Yes.
Has it ever worked out for anyone to purposely throw a challenge?
It happens once in a blue moon, but it has to be a very specific circumstance. It has mm-hmm. to be something like, you just did a tribal swap, and things barely changed. Like, one person from the other tribe got onto your tribe, and nothing else changed.
Right.
Then you can throw the challenge and get rid of the person from the other tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no. And certainly not in this past episode's case, where, oh my God. So, for those who didn't watch, Drew is this guy who, when I say he's full of himself, that's it's yeah. really, he's yeah. double-packed with himself.
Full of something.
Yeah. He kept calling himself the tribal kingpin,
yeah.
Even though he pretty much sleeps all day and was not able to convince a single person to vote the way he wanted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when he was on Exile Island, he decided that he was going to throw the challenge to get rid of some of those snaky women. Didn't name any or give any good reason why, and didn't have a specific target, but he was just going to throw it anyway, just because.
Right.
And it backfired, and he got voted out, and it was really, really lovely.
It was extremely satisfying. I feel like if I was only going to watch one episode all season, it might as well have been this one.
Yeah, this was a very, on the watch-skip verdict, this was a very clear watch-this-episode.
He was so dumb. Oh. And sorry, Sarah, the one other thing I'm going to say, and then you go ahead, is that when they were strategizing before Tribal Council, to which they were going because, according to him, he threw the challenge, he was talking about voting out one of the other women when she was, like, 3 feet away. And I thought at first it was, like, sneaky editing. But then they did a wide shot and was like, no, she's really right there. Like, there's no way she couldn't have heard him plotting against her.
My favorite part about that was he was having this conversation with others saying, we have to vote out who's the strongest one. Who's the sneakiest one? It's Kelly. She's a mastermind. She's crafty. And everybody's just looking at each other like, her?
She's
what
right.
is she doing?
Also, she's right there.
Yeah. But even if she weren't, it's like, what? What has right. she done? She hasn't done anything.
Right. Sarah, sorry, I cut you off.
Well, I was wondering, like, it just seemed to me, and keep in mind, like, it was edited well enough, and he was enough of a just sort of semi-douche leading up to this, that it didn't bother me that this was the storyline, and that it ended this way. Like, whether it's manipulated or not, I'm fine with it. But it does occur to me, like, the other team had just been a complete collective basket case, as it were, mm-hmm. in challenges. And then he, like, the only way this tribe can lose is for Droosh to throw it. So do we think that production, like, didn't order him to do it, but sort of put it in his head, like, you should do this, and then that would make you the... You know,
I don't know.
Shit of Survivor Mountain. Like, I don't think he's smart enough necessarily to come up with this on his own. He's certainly not proactive enough to do anything.
But I don't think
sitting upright.
I don't think it was smart at all, though. So I can totally see him coming up with it. I don't know. In his interviews, like on Exile Island, you could see the glee that he had just in the idea that he would be in charge of something, whether or not it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And it really was like cast from last season. If you saw that. And so this is something you see once in a while. Somebody just gets it in their head where I'm going to be in charge. So it felt real to me. Mm. I mean, there might have been manipulated parts, but I'm betting that the overall storyline was accurate.
He did seem like he was enough of a megalomaniac that he thought he could put it over.
I think he had the kind of mother that, you know, was like, oh, you can do anything. You're really great, sweetie. It's not that you dropped the ball. It's that you gave a present to the earth.
Well, yeah, I actually buy that because his brother, Alec, on the other tribe, who I kept mistakenly calling his twin. But, yeah, Alec is kind of the same way. Alec's few interviews, he seemed like a douche as well. So it may well be in the genes.
Yeah.
So well, think of all the smart Alec puns you get to make before he's inevitably voted off because he's a douche.
Yeah.
Who do you have an early pick for who you think could maybe win?
If I had to put money right now, I would say Josh.
Okay.
Partly because he seems okay in the challenges and the social game, and partly because he's had a zillion talking heads.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling he goes far.
Okay.
I gotta say, and this surprises me, I'm kind of picking Natalie to go far.
Interesting.
She was kind of in charge of the Drew ouster. I think she's mm-hmm. got some social game, and I think she certainly has some strategy. And physically, she's strong enough. I think she can make it at least to the merge and... Yeah, maybe much further.
She seemed much less annoying in this episode than she ever did on The Amazing Race. Maybe it's being separated from her twin that lets her, like, act like a person.
I mean, she definitely was an asshole the previous episode when she went off on John Rocker, which, mm-hmm. you know, I was perfectly fine with it, but the way she did it was kind of asshole-y.
Right.
Well, and that was another thing that I thought production had perhaps put their thumb on the scale with, which, generally speaking, like... I just feel like they keep, like, remixing the cocktail of the show in ways that make it more boring, not less.
Oh, that's sort of totally
been
true.
My issue with the show, that it's like, well, leaving aside... Actually, I'm not going to leave it aside. It's blood versus blood, for God's sake. Thank you. Doesn't help. I'm sure this has been pointed out to them a million times. But, yeah. like, things like that, and, like, all the immunity idols, like... Not that I'm sort of longing for a return to the days when Ricky Bobby or Bobby Johnny or whatever his name was like cramping and hurling and having to make himself a cane out of like, you know, palm leaves to get around because they were just so dehydrated and exhausted, like literally. Mm-hmm. But there's no danger. There's no, like in the first, whatever, 14,000 seasons, you did sort of feel like there was a survival element. And now it's just not, like, it's not compelling in that way. There's no actual survival element.
And nobody dies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, one or two. They start off with so many. I think you can, you know, lose one or two, you know, in the real way.
Well, the show is not that compelling in a lot of ways. I mean, it's become really, really formulaic. I mean, aside from the fact that Jeff Probst has like 30 things that he says exactly the same way every single episode. Come on in, guys. Why know what you're playing for? Got nothing for you. But all the challenges, and I don't want to bust on the challenges too much. I have friends who are challenge consultants. I know they do a good job. But what the show wants has become so boring. Like, if you go back to season one and you look at the challenges, it wasn't just like, stuff on the beach and in the water. You had people running around the forest.
Yeah.
You had Jeff would tell a story and they had to remember the details.
Yep.
You'd have quizzes about trivia about your fellow tribe mates. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd have all kinds of things. And now it's always run an obstacle course, grab the puzzle pieces, solve it, raise your tribe's flag. Over and over and over. And, you know, it would just be nice to see a little more variety.
Yeah.
Can we talk briefly about Jeff Probst wearing a Survivor baseball hat on Survivor? It really bugged me for some reason. It's kind of gauche, you know, just you know, like either, you know, you take it off, but or you just wear, you know, a regular hat. Don't wear your product hat on the product.
But that was his rap gift from season 18.
Well, I don't know. It's either that or watch
his rap gift from season 18 was his wife.
Oh, season 11. That's his unwrap gift. I think the alternative to the cap, though, is watching Jeff's hair get fake blacker and fake blacker every season. Yeah. So,
and what is happening to his face? I think I tweeted about this the other day, but he's starting to look like one of those dollies made out of pantyhose. I mean, I know he's out in the sun a lot, but dude, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Survivor. All right, it's time to go around the dial. I have one programming note. Actually, two. One is, Sarah reminded me, this is episode 47, not 46, like I said in the intro.
Oh.
47. Oh. And the other
so
one is...
So for all you Alias fans, I was there's no say, conspiracy. We just lost count.
The Rambaldiest episode.
And the other one is, if you heard a dog barking in the background, we are doing a rare, rare Friday afternoon record. And that is garbage truck day here in Los Angeles. And my dog goes crazy about garbage. Struck. So apologies for that.
Yep.
Tara.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Scandal. We're four episodes into season four as we record this, and I am pleased that this season seems to have brought Olivia Pope back to what she mostly did in season one, which is manage crises, because I feel like last, especially season three, was a lot about, you know, conspiracy and sort of
speaking of Alias.
Yeah,
basically long, turned into Alias.
Yes, bigger storylines that were sort of more overarching and like didn't actually have her diffusing awkward situations that much anymore. And then this season, there's been a lot of that, a different one in every episode, and it's so much more fun and more entertaining to watch. The latest episode had her getting an emergency phone call from the first daughter, who was wasted and passed out at a party somewhere, and she and Quinn had to go and like get her out without anybody taking any cell phone camera footage or photos. And also then it turned out that she had participated in a sex tape, so they had to also track that down and make sure that it didn't leak, as it were.
Ew.
Sorry. She does say in the episode, she screams at Cyrus on the phone, "I've just seen the dirtiest sex tape I ever saw in my entire life." Like, that's a good way to start an episode, I'm not gonna lie. However, it does take me to my larger topic, which is shitty kids on TV. Is it me or are kids getting shittier? Discuss. Because, as I already tweeted, there's at least two on The Affair, which just premiered on Showtime. One of whom, spoiler alert, well, not really, it aired over a week ago by the time you hear this, thinks it's going to be a really funny joke to have a fight with his dad and then pretend to hang himself in the bathroom. Like,
wow.
That's how the episode basically opens, like, upsetting. And then they have this other kid who's Sasha from Bunheads, and she's a shithead. And then there's more on Parenthood. They now have two brats, one of whom is like, well, she's acting out because we're getting divorced. Like, no, Sydney was always a dick. This is not because of the
divorce.
No,
she sucked since frame one. She's the worst.
She was the worst until Ruby came back into the picture, which is Ray Romano's character's daughter, who's just moved back from Minnesota, where she got in with a bad crowd in Minnesota. So that tells you how bad she actually is.
They're not drinking milkshakes, I assure you of that.
They're not. And then there's all of the shitty kids on How to Get Away with Murder, which, even though they're law students and thus at least in their 20s, are all shitty kids. They're what's ruining that show for me, because I like the idea of it, but I don't need to see her teaching students. They're all boring and dumb. She's trying to figure out why her husband's penis was on a woman's phone. Let's talk about that more and less about, like, who's interested in their neighbors across the hall or whatever. So I don't know if this is TV adding more shitty kids or me getting less tolerant of shitty kids so I notice them more, but I am about to turn 40, and maybe that's a side effect. No more shitty kids on TV.
From the other side of 40,
yes.
Here's my theory.
Please.
First of all, I can name many, many shitty kids on TV. And when there's a pair of shitty teenage kids, the girl always ends up pregnant, especially when it's a CBS limited drama. Hostages,
yep.
Looking at you. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate all the fodder I was given for Fart Faces of Hostages. Those were shitty kids. But yep. Here's my theory. Now that the Brody children have been mm-hmm. subtracted from yes. Homeland, there is a vacuum of shitty kiddiness to be filled. And this yeah. is a phenomenon which you are unfortunately
yeah, and because of their Brodies, that equals like triple, quadruple the number of kids in other shows. So
that's true.
Well, Chris alone, like
yeah.
then you have a, you know, certain delayed quality you're looking to replicate with some Wipos or Ageros.
Yeah.
And no, that is not the phrase doesn't pay, just so everyone knows.
All right, Trip, what do you got for us?
We are now a few episodes into the third season of the greatest reality competition show of all time. I'm, of course, speaking about The Genius, or as the third season has it, The Genius, Black Garnet.
Ooh!
I guarantee that unless you are on my personal Facebook or Twitter feeds, you have never heard of this series. If you have, you have heard about it way too much. But it is a show from South Korea. And luckily, there is somebody out there who is willing to secretly subtitle it into English and put it out there for us to find. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you where, but if you were of such a mind to search for it...
Or if you wanted to fly to South Korea and watch it.
Yes. But if you were to search for an English subtitled version of South Korea's The Genius, mm-hmm. I bet you could find it. Just a hunch.
You can tube it. I mean, do it.
Yeah. It is based on a fictional reality show from a Japanese manga called The Liar Game, which actually is available on YouTube in an English subtitled version. It's awesome and very evil. The actual reality show is less evil, but still a lot of fun. The show has two main portions, the main match and the death match. Yes. In the main match, all of the players participate. It starts with 12. And it's a different game each episode, but it always involves strategy, diplomacy, intrigue, trying to find loopholes in the rules that you can exploit, manipulating other players, that sort of thing. And it's just a pleasure watching really smart people try to outthink each other. We really don't get that much over here.
No.
Well, the hook of the hook that I like is that the 12 people, they each have like one like unique specialty that they've been brought on for.
It's yeah.
At least in the first season, anyway. Because I started after you posted this that you're talking about this, I started to watch the first episode. And, you know, they have, like, kind of a comic, and he's supposed to be, you know, the social guy, and they have, like, a poker pro, and he's, like, the strategy guy and that kind of thing. It's an interesting way to set it up.
Yeah, they do. They a lot of, like, math people, computer people, video game people, mm-hmm. Who are just good at gaming. So the loser of the main match picks an opponent for the one-on-one death match, which is always a one-on-one strategy game of some sort, and loser goes home. In the first two seasons, the winner got the garnets that had been accumulated over the course of the season by the loser. And at the end of the series, one person would have all the garnets and you would turn those in for cash. This season, the loser goes home and the winner gets a black garnet. Mm. And if you get enough black garnets, you can do something to earn immunity or something. I don't know. We haven't gotten that far yet. But
they're like Dave points, it sounds like.
It's sort of.
Yeah, kind of. Anyway, the show is just awesome. And if you liked the Mole or anything else with like psychology and strategy and that sort of thing, go look for The Genius. It's incredibly awesome.
But it's got a really playful tone to it, I find. At least, again, I've only watched the first episode of the first season. But the other thing I really like is that the presentation is very kind of manic and kind of feels comic booky and video gamey.
They really
the presentation's really slick.
Yeah, they took the feel of the manga very, yeah. Very. The main hall looks very similar.
Yeah. I started to watch. I got about 20 minutes into it, and then I realized I really had to pay full attention to it.
Oh yes.
So I'm going to save it for the travel days I have coming because I was already hooked after like 10 minutes.
It is not passive viewing. I have to rewind a few times to make sure I get all the rules right.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. And the first challenge is sort of like this system where everybody gets 9 cards. Everybody gets 3 ones, 3 twos, and 3 threes, and they have to like basically play war against other people, against all the other 12 contestants, and then whoever has the most points at the end of the, or yeah, the most wins at the end of the game takes the crown. Whoever has, if you have one card left, if you didn't play all the cards, you lose. And one guy kind of figures out that, oh, there's an odd number of cards in play, therefore one person will absolutely lose no matter what. There's one card that won't have a match to play. And then like everybody starts teaming off into secret rooms and like doing all these strategies. Do we trust this guy's strategy? Do we don't? And it all happens really fast. And it was really compelling.
And cool.
It's amazing how deep the strategy are for some of these really simple sounding games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely check it out. It is on Google's
the internet
thing.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, Sarah.
I'd like to talk about a recent casting development on The Good Wife. I don't think we need a spoiler warning for that because it really was all over.
Oh, sweet heavenly father!
Go ahead.
Anything else?
Nope.
Any other drops there? Dick. All right, now that we've paused for a respectful amount of time for people to fast forward, Archie Panjabi is leaving The Good Wife at the end of season 6, which is the current one.
Yep.
So, you know, we have a while to say our goodbyes, and I don't think they're going to do some crazy Will Gardner thing where she gets shot in court or hit by a bus or anything like that. But first of all, I think it's interesting that like 2 or 3 years ago, I would have freaked out and been like, that's it. That's the end of the show. But after they brought her husband on and it was such a disaster, it kind of, like her character kind of went downhill for me. But here's the other thing. I read this news and then I saw a few passing comments on Twitter about how she and Juliana Margulies have not appeared in the same scene together for like 2 years.
Yeah, we talked about this
in the previous episode of Extra Hot Great. And then I disappeared down a rabbit hole of like trying to find like sources for their feud or whatever. And If you want some proof, not that you need any, of what a like crazy place the internet can be and what people's idea of like a citation is, like they really think that Reddit is like a proper source for the concept that the craziest theory I heard, which I don't believe, and even if I did, don't sue me, is that Margulies is gay and she like hit on Archie Panjabi and it didn't work out and now she never wants to be in a scene with her. I was like, okay. And then the source of that was a Reddit AMA by like a key grip on a completely different show that also films in Silver Cup Studios. So I was like, wow, here's
where sounds we are. Legit.
TMZ a stan.
I mean, welcome. That was the rumor. A version of that was the rumor of why Bradley Cooper got written out of Alias, right? Am I remembering that right? No?
Just me? No. Well,
I heard at the time, again, don't sue me, this is just what I heard, was that he and Victor Garber were like an item, and then they broke up, and they were like, well, we can't get rid of Victor Garber, because who would? And so that's why they wrote him out of the show. Because
I also heard on the internet, so whatever, that's why The Flash was killed while eating an ice cream cone on Dawson's Creek.
I heard that too.
Because he tried to get into Dawson's crack, and no bueno. Dawson's lost, in my opinion.
I mean, whatever it is, if there is beef between Panjabi and Margulies, like, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job on the show for a while of making it about, like, well, she slept with Peter and Alicia wasn't having it. But now it's like enough time has passed that if that were, like, I feel like it would have blown over, especially now that they're separated. Like, what does she care who he slept with a million years ago? But there has to be something more to it, I feel.
Well, and their last scene together, I think, was, like, after all of that had already kind of blown over. Yeah. So it's like, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I think Intrigue. The show has proven that it can sort of move on from killing off major characters, possibly because they have every possible wonderful guest star, and it's like seriously the Silver Cup Ziegfeld Follies over there.
Totally.
So you don't miss any one person too much, but it is sort of interesting that in the evolution of the show, she seemed extremely important the first few seasons, but now she's smartly being like, yeah, you don't really need me, I'm a go. So
And Robin is fine in that role.
Yeah,
I love Robin.
Yeah, I agree.
I like her sweaters.
Me too.
All right, Americans, take a break. Canadians, this is not really apropos of anything. I just came across this, and I wanted to play the theme to read all about it.
Read all about it. Discover all the news. Read all about it. Track down all the clues. With interesting people, there's a mystery to be solved. An adventure is unfolding, so why not get involved? Come on and read all about it.
We watch so many episodes of Read All About It in school. It's like this educational mystery show where basically the teacher goes off the smoke for a while and sticks this on for 20 minutes. Did you remember this?
No. To watch it in the States as well.
Oh, did you?
Oh, really?
New Jersey is a province now, but we had a few menthol fans who would put this on and leave us alone.
Excellent.
With it too.
Maybe it was just an East thing because I've never heard that in my
life. Oh, yeah. It's TVO Ontario, I think, made the show. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what made that moment for me was your sensual dance.
Yeah, did you like that?
I was going to say, that was hypnotic.
Yeah. I'm sorry that nobody else gets to see it.
This is what happens when Dave gets a standing desk. Dave also gets dance fever.
Yeah.
Hi, Libby.
Hi, Mom.
We just finished watching episode 13 of Face Off.
Yeah.
And this, I thought you would really love this episode. What did you think of it?
It was awesome. The challenge was to make fairies, but they were born in a disaster. But then they still came out beautiful.
Yeah. Who was your very favorite this week?
Sick.
How come?
Because I liked his fairy. I liked the dress. And it was cool that he made the ice crown.
What was his disaster?
It was an avalanche, and I learned avalanche from a show called Diego, and They said that an avalanche is a place high up in the mountains, and in any small place, any loud noise can cause it. It's like a rock fall, except for with snow.
Thanks, Diego. And who is the winner this week?
Sig, which is my favorite, so yay.
And who is the loser this week?
Stella.
What did she do?
She did wildfire. And what am I supposed to say next?
What did hers look like?
It was flames on the head and the shoulders, and then crispy charcoal.
Did you like hers?
No.
Are you glad she's gone?
Yes.
I see. If you were a fairy, where would you fly?
And all around the world and pick which one's my favorite and then go to that place and live there.
So you would do your research first?
Yeah.
If you had a special fairy power, what would you want your special fairy power to be? Besides flight, because you get flight with fairies.
I'd like all the powers in the world.
All of the powers?
Yeah, it would be the all-around-the-world fairy, which had all the powers in the world. The looking beautiful powers, mostly. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for speaking with me this week, Liv.
You're welcome, Mom.
And we'll talk again next week.
See you next week.
That's as bad as wishing for more wishes. You can't do that, Liv.
Oh. Leah texted me after that one with the, she said she wanted looking beautiful powers and then an emoji that was like, too many Barbie movies. And it's true. They do have a Barbie movie about Barbie fairies. So that one might find its way to the back of the shelf.
Thanks, Mattel.
Yeah.
All right. That means it's time for the canon. Trips brought us something. Trip, take it away.
I forgot my reading glasses, so pardon me here. All right. So the last time I was here, I nominated Ellen's puppy episode for the canon, which was, of course, her big coming out episode. And so this time I thought to myself, how can I go gayer? And my first thought was to bring on an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Decided I had gone that route on the show too many times already, so... instead, I decided to pick one of the gayest episodes of one of the gayest shows of all time. My nomination is from the final season of Will and Grace. It is season 8, episode 10. I'm not going to say the name of the episode yet because it's in one of the clips, but it is the Sound of Music sing-along episode. And it's a little odd that I'm choosing late season Will and Grace because in general, I think the early seasons are much better than the late episodes. By the late episodes, you're getting a lot of, do you still want to have a baby with me? Yeah. I'm jealous of your relationship. You know, all that kind of screaming at each other stuff. And it's just not as good as the early seasons. But for me, this episode is really the gem of the late seasons. When I came on and nominated the Ellen episode, I nominated that episode on the basis of its larger significance and its role in the civil rights movement and all of that stuff. For this episode of Will and Grace, there is absolutely no significance whatsoever. It doesn't advance the characters. There's no larger meaning to this episode. It's just, to my mind, really fucking funny. And that's what it's going to come down to. If you found this episode as funny as I did, you'll put it in the canon, and if you don't, you won't. Here's the strangest thing about this nomination. I hate the Sound of Music.
Oh.
You can take that one off my gay card if you want. But I think that movie is saccharine. I don't like most of the songs. I think it's like twice as long as it needs to be. By the end of the movie, I'm rooting for the Nazis. I mean, seriously.
I've never seen it.
Oh, keep it that way.
Okay.
But I love the way that this episode manages to mine the Sound of Music for humor in so many different ways. In terms of the way it parallels the plot of the movie, the way it does a lot of the visuals from the movie, and of course a lot of just the gags about the movie. So this episode just has a lot of gags per minute, I found. So rather than doing a general argument, I'm just going to present some of the scenes. So, it starts out, Grace talks the gang into going to a theater for the local Sound of Music sing-along. She dresses as Maria, of course. leading to this exchange with Karen, where Megan Mullally has absolutely perfect comic timing.
It's Milani.
Maybe people can tell I'm Maria, even though I don't have my Captain Von Trapp.
Of course, how do you make a perfect Maria? You're sweet and perky, and you're obviously not cut out to be a nun. Because you're a whore.
Thanks, Karen.
And a Jew.
Yeah, I got it.
Meanwhile, Will has accidentally gone to the wrong theater while wearing his Viennese captain's uniform, and James, who is played by a really hot-looking Taye Diggs, hands him his movie ticket.
I'm not an usher.
Well, then why are you dressed like an usher?
I'm not. I'm Captain Von Trapp. I have 7 singing children, and my cold heart was recently melted by a young nun.
Where do you think you are?
At the Sound of Music, sing along. Where do you think you are?
At the 7:40 showing of Memoirs of a Geisha.
Ooh, I think you're in the wrong place.
If this isn't the theater showing Memoirs of a Geisha, then why are all these people coming out going, eh?
Grace calls Will to ask where he is, leading to this exchange.
Hello.
Where are you?
I think I met someone.
I don't see how that's possible, because every gay man in the city is in this theater. So much lisping going on, it sounds like someone poked a hole in the lobby.
Let's see. So inside the theater, Karen and Jack are sitting on the first row of the balcony, and she has tossed her empty flask over the aisle, you know, like you do. And she hits someone in the head with it, leading to this official announcement.
We'll be holding the film until we find the person who threw an object from the balcony.
Out here. Hold it.
If you have any information as to this person's identity or whereabouts, please report to an usher immediately.
Big deal. Like, what are they going to do?
What we're going to do is call the police and have them arrest the guilty party.
Oh, my God. Karen, we got to get out of here.
Hold on, hold on. Do you have any leads?
I guess you want a break.
Go!
Meanwhile, in the lobby, Grace has accidentally ended up babysitting a bunch of children that have been left there by other women. She discovers that none of those children have ever seen The Sound of Music and gets inspired to do this.
I am now starting to think that I was sent to you children for a reason. I'm going to teach you. But where to start? Ah. Let's start at the very beginning. Very good place to start.
Is this how it sounds in the movie?
Kinda. Her voice was warbly sometimes. Mine's a little more pure.
I always love it with Grace sings. So Will is still flirting with James in the other theater when Grace calls him again, leading to this exchange.
Hello.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm on the train.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're on the train.
Well, I am.
Don't you fake train to me. I taught you fake train.
I taught you fake train.
That's fake train? Sounded more like fake dishwasher.
When would you ever need fake dishwasher?
Valid point.
I love that line. After that, Will finally goes to the correct theater, where he is filled in on the trouble that Karen is in. This is a great bit with joke on top of joke, ending with Jack dramatically delivering the title of the episode.
We gotta get out of here. They're after all of us now.
Why me?
They heard you singing.
We can't get out. They've posted ushers at every door. Trained movie theater ushers.
We're Von Trapped.
There's a whole lot more in the episode, obviously, but I think those clips kind of give you the feel for it. And honestly, I'm not sure whether this episode is truly that great, or whether it just happens to hit my particular sense of humor really, really on the target. So that's kind of your decision. I give you Von Trapped.
I'll go first, since I think I'm the only person other than Trip who's seen every episode of Will and Grace 50 times, and discovering that WeTV was rerunning it during the day was one of the greatest discoveries of 2013 for me. This episode has a lot of funny. I was surprised that you didn't clip the all in a day, because that's my favorite runner of the episode. Karen complains that her flask hit one of the few straight people in the theater and says, straight people are so litigious. You hit a gay guy in the head, he just shrugs and says, all in a day, and that gets proved a couple of times in the episode. And you're right, this is Taye Diggs at the peak of his power slash cuteness, and it's sort of a bummer what they end up doing with his character later on in the season when he comes back, because it's kind of comes totally out of nowhere.
Agreed.
Even though I appreciate the contrivance, whatever would get Will back together with Vince.
Well, what is it now?
Oh, they have, he's Canadian, and he has to get married to Grace, like, to stay in the country, and then all of a sudden, like, after three episodes of him being completely normal, he's like a bigot and kind of racist and stuff, so they have to get him out of it. It's like just very, very strange.
It's like when normal characters start to become, like, suddenly they're stupid for no reason. Like John Hamm at 30 Rock. First episode, he wasn't that dumb, and then he becomes Homer Simpson dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Anyway, but this is a bit of a departure for Will and Grace, because they didn't really do, like, heavy spoof episodes like this very often. And this might be the only one, in fact, that I can think of. Like, it's not like Community, where every episode sort of has a different model that it's going after. So following the Sound of Music plot for the Sound of Music episode is clever, but it's a departure for the show, I think. I'm interested to hear what Sarah and Dave have to say.
Well, Trip, I think you're absolutely right about this one, which is, if you find it funny, you find it funny. And if you don't, you don't. No, I didn't. I think the last time we had a Will and Grace episode, I was kind of, I put my reservations out there that I thought this was sort of like weirdly gay-sploitative in ways.
I submitted it to the canon. It was the one with Matt Damon.
And that's always been my problem with this show, other than the character of Grace, which I find is I just cannot handle her.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's this like minstrel kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what I said in the last episode. And this doesn't really change my mind that much about that. Although there's a lot less Jack in this episode, which I think is a major contributor to that feeling. And I know I've been given permission not to feel that way, but I still do. I've never seen Sound of Music. I've seen snippets here and there. I've sang all the songs because you have to in school. So I feel like I've seen it, even though I haven't. Sort of that being the source of the episode didn't do much for me either. Although I think it's kind of neat that you don't like it, Trip, but the episode works for you. the only thing I really laughed at was the godlike announcer in the theater. I thought that was a pretty good bit, but otherwise, it just gave me a couple smiles. I didn't hate the episode, but I just, like, it was just there. So I wouldn't say canon worthy. Sarah.
I am on the record as having no use for this show generally. But I like Sound of Music. I also don't have a ton of use for Taye Diggs. Like, he's cute, but it's like a sculpture. Like, I think he's really overrated. And I'm kind of tired of him not, like, living up to his initial promise or whatever. But this is the, like, most fun that I've had watching him. Fake dishwasher, for whatever reason, I laughed for like 10
minutes.
Yeah,
that was good.
Like, why would you need... Yeah, like, he was really good in this episode. It was Jack Light. It made a ton of fun of Karen, which I approve of, because that character is just like, ugh, I just don't... I mean, maybe it's the actress, I don't know. There were a couple of lines, like the lisping line that Trip clips, that I was just like, I don't know. Like, I just don't care for that. Like, on the one hand, I appreciated how, like, Catskillsy it was built. But on the other hand, I was kind of like, I don't, ew. It's like, what kind of Paul Lynde line is that? I don't know.
Write that scene, boys. what I think about this show is that I understand, why it is presented the way it is for the time it was built. But this show does not age well for me, and I think it's just going to get worse and worse as time goes on. You know, it's just sort of like it has its importance as a product, but not necessarily for the contents of the product, I think.
Yeah. I mean, with all that said, I really enjoyed it. And it was one of those, you know, I have no idea what the context is for it versus like Tara and Trip, who have seen every episode at least once and have an idea of like whether this is typical or whether it's like important or sort of that aspect of the canon. I can only vote on whether it was good, and I thought it was funny, and I did think it was good and funny. Am I going to watch more Will and Grace's? Nope.
All right, so let's put it to a vote. Tara?
I love Will and Grace, but I can't vote for this episode. I'm sorry, Trip.
Oh, and I'm going to say no. Sarah?
I would have voted yes. Sorry, friend.
Will and Grace, Season 8, Episode 10, Von Trapped. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But you're not inducted into the Extra Hot Greek Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time for Winner and a Loser of the Week. Tara has our winner.
Winner is Kim Dickens, someone who I never really thought was that great, but who I came around on after seeing her in Gone Girl, which I thought she was really good in, and she is coming to Season 3 of House of Cards, although they haven't said what she will be doing. I am interested to see that. More Deadwood people on House of Cards, please.
Oh, she's Joni, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And Loser of the Week?
Loser of the Week is Freaks and Geeks because of this like whole flapdoodle with Seth Rogen running into Garth Anseer at some event and being like, you're the guy who canceled Freaks and Geeks. Like,
really?
All right, first of all, it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Second of all, you did okay,
yeah,
Breadline McGee. Bring it down a notch. But then Garth Anseer can't just be like, sorry, I fucked up. He, like, his defense was like, well, maybe if the creators had taken some of my notes. And then it just has turned into this, like, he said cavalcade of bullshit ever since. And it's kind of like, you know what? It was a good show that got canceled too soon, but actually now is kind of a little bit overrated. And shut up, Seth Rogen, seriously.
Shut up, everybody. No one wins, as you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm confused, though. I've got a question. My question is, do you know what time it is?
What? Why are you asking?
It's game time.
What? Oh, people are switching places, Sarah. Cats and dogs living together.
That's right. I'm in charge now.
What?
Dave was the only one who knew about this. This came as a complete surprise to Tara and Sarah. We're doing a little switcheroo this week. I'm running game time.
Oh, my God.
I'm scared.
As much as I enjoy coming on this show and getting my ass handed to me regularly by Tara in game time, I'm a game maker. It's what I do.
Speaking of overrated, not you getting beat by Tara.
But you'll be happy to know that this is still a regulation match, and playing on behalf of valued guests everywhere is one Mr. David Tiberius Cole.
Why are you doing fake dishwasher?
So I just want to try out the sound effects here. So what do we think of Trip being in charge?
Yay!
Okay.
A natural.
That's right. I've always felt bad that Dave just doesn't ever get to play game time. So hopefully he will do us valued guests proud.
Oh, we'll try.
Good luck, Dave.
That's right. For the record, he does not know what the game is. Mm-hmm. I have not told anybody. So he's as much in the dark about this as the rest of us.
80s action TV. 80s action TV.
Our game is The A-Team. Season standings right now are Sarah with 1 point, valued guests with 2, and Tara on the verge of victory with 4 points. Yep. If she wins today, she will win yet another season of game time.
And this is going to be our last game time for like the next 4 episodes at least. So this
could be a cliffhanger.
It could be a cliffhanger.
Yeah. So today's game time was submitted by me, meaning that I earn an extra credit. I'm just going to say ka-ching because I don't see it up here on the page. Yeah. Meaning that I get an extra hot, great mini topic of my choosing. Mm-hmm. In addition to which, I am awarding myself a Dave point because I'm in charge and I can do that.
Huh. All right. He's gone mad with power.
Yes. Right. I got to reevaluate this whole thing.
That's right. So the game that we will be playing today is The Game Game, Second Edition.
Oh!
boy. I have found 36 more examples of board games based on TV shows.
Yay!
Oh, boy.
This was a fun one. Yeah, I'm glad it came back.
As before, I will provide you with the year that a game came out,
yep,
which is always a year from the original run of the show,
okay,
and a quote from the game, and you name the show.
Okay.
You don't need the name of the game, just the name of the show it was based on. This time, the quote will either come from the official rules of the game or from the outside of the game box, because it's really tough finding photos of all those game rules online.
Sure.
So some of these are going to sound more like blurbs than rules, but sure, whatever, there's a clue in them somewhere.
Sure.
If you can get the clue, if you can get the show after the first clue, you will earn 2 glorious, majestic, towering points. If you need a hint, it will be in the form of a second quote from the game, in which case a correct response will earn you 1 sad, lonely, pathetic point. None of the shows from the previous game were used in this game.
Okay.
And as before, the shows will be in chronological order, starting with 1960 and going up to the present day.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes?
Are we allowed to guess at the 2-point level and the 1-point level? Or
no,
do we have
you get
to make
one guess. Okay. If you guess incorrectly at 2 points, that's it.
Got it.
Okay.
Are there any questions? There shouldn't be, because you've played this game before,
yep,
but I thought I'd ask.
All right.
All right. Dave has given me the access codes for the person in control choosing an initiative 3000, so let's see who it picks. And we will start with?
We will start with David.
All right.
All right. Nice. It knows where its bread is buttered.
Yeah.
So we will go from Dave to Tara to Sarah.
Okay.
All right. Tara, will you keep score, please?
Yes, I will.
All right. Are we ready to play the game?
Yes.
Second edition.
Yes, we are.
Yes, yes.
Woo!
Very exciting.
Okay. And you should be.
He
all
is
right.
Very excited for those who can't see him. He's not dancing, but he is smiling.
All right. So we start with Dave. Dave, 1960.
Yes.
Only 1 steer from each hand is used on the board, the remaining 2 being held in reserve by the owner.
I'm going to take a stab at the 2 points, say Gunsmoke.
Hold on here. Oh. The next clue would have been you, as cowboys, will meet all the problems that beset a cattle drive.
I still would have said Gunsmoke.
Okay.
Bonanza?
Cattle drive is Rawhide.
Oh.
It's the Rawhide game.
I also would have guessed Bonanza.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to Tara.
Yes.
1965. Mm-hmm. Collect required clue cards in order to complete a picture of a chaos agent, that's K-A-O-S, while avoiding being sent to the hospital by a time bomb.
Is this Get Smart?
Is this Get Smart?
It is.
It is.
So it begins.
So it begins. All right, Sarah, 1969.
Yes.
The ring on the spinner is wild, and a player who spins it can choose any bone, a skull, or body from the coffin that he can hang on its proper place on his scaffold, as seen on the diagram.
It's the original Walking Dead, sir.
Wow.
Carl!
The Addams Family.
Oh,
no,
good
sorry.
Guess.
Was it Munsters?
No. I'm going to read the second clue because the second clue is awesome.
Okay.
The toy fangs are not part of the game and belong only to the owner of the game. They should be washed before a player uses them.
Dark Shadows?
It is the Barnabas Collins Dark Shadows
wow.
game. Yes.
Amazing.
All right. Back to Dave.
Clue right. and hygiene.
1972, Dave.
Yeah, my birth year.
Good year.
In my neighborhood, we ain't much for playing contract bridge or Conestoga or any other leftist games. So we play my card game.
Gonna need the second clue on this one, I think.
For 1 point. The other 2 are the dingbat cards, which can help you or hurt you, depending on whether you got them or not.
Dingbat.
Dingbat.
Dingbat. You're saying that like I should know this.
You should.
Yeah, you should.
Really?
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shit. Dingbat. I still don't know. I'm just going to say, welcome back, Carter.
All in the Family.
All in the Family. Archie Bunker's card game.
See, if it was Meathead, right. I would have got it.
All right, Dara. 1977. Yeah. Moving up quickly.
Yep.
Our playful performers scurry about, bobbing stage left, weaving stage right, in a frantic, frenzied race to the footlights.
Is it the Muppet Show?
It is the Muppet Show. 2 points. Sarah,
yes.
1977. These cards each have a message designed to help your team and are used when you land on a pink spot. Mix these cards and place them face down in the space near the phone.
The phone.
The phone?
Yes. 1977.
Love Connection.
Is it Charlie's Angels?
It's Charlie's Angels.
Oh.
All right, back to Dave.
Can I throw stuff at Tara while she's answering her questions?
My back is to you guys, so, you know.
Do you have a crate of tennis balls over there?
Yeah, all these tennis balls here.
1978.
All right. When I was born.
When... I can't wait till we get to 2014 and you say that. When you reach the space beside a trapped animal, you stop.
1978. Gonna need the second clue, Trip.
All right. You can be rescued by Ben or by any other animal who has already been rescued and is now in its den.
Is the answer Gentle Ben?
Damn it,
no,
what?
I knew that would happen, though. Sorry. It is the Grizzly Adams Save the Animals adventure game.
Boo! I would have said Gentle Ben, too.
Yeah. I'm not sure if the year was right, but it was close. Yeah.
Loki of game time here.
Mwahaha. All right. Tara, 1980.
Yes, sir.
The idea of the game is for the players to buy, sell, steal, and trade stocks to increase their wealth. The wealthiest player becoming the winner.
Is it Charlie's Angels?
And accumulate votes and blackmail information for control of the family business.
1980. Dynasty? Dallas.
Players with a disc in the South Fork space.
Damn!
Yeah, Dallas.
Keep getting greedy, Ariana.
All right, 1981. You become bounty hunters, just like Colt Seavers. You're looking for a very elusive bail jumper.
This is Sarah.
This is for Sarah.
Yeah. Hint, please.
To capture the fugitive and to win the game, you'll have to do some very hair-raising stunt work. Get ready for a great adventure and lots of fun.
Oh, I should know this, and
what
I
year,
don't.
What year was
so
this?
I'm going to say Benson.
1981. No, stunt work, that's the fall guy.
Oh,
the fall guy game. Mm-hmm. All right, question 10, back to Dave.
All right.
1986, we are jumping ahead dramatically.
Yeah, here's one.
Getting everyone together isn't easy. As soon as you talk one family member into showing up, another may run out to see a rock concert, to visit the stock market, or to watch the filming of a public TV documentary.
Stock market. That threw me. I thought I might have known it, and then I heard stock market. And Tara's looking at me like, Dave, you should know the answer.
Just said public TV.
Public TV. That doesn't help me.
You want the hint?
Can you read the first one again for
sure.
me, please?
Getting everyone together isn't easy. As soon as you talk one family member into showing up, another may run out to see a rock concert, to visit the stock market, or to watch the filming of a public TV documentary.
Well, I have two possible answers, but I'm unsure of the years, so I'm going to get the second clue in the hopes that it will let me filter it down a bit.
Then there's Skippy, the neighbor who considers himself a part of the family and wants to get into the picture.
I'm glad I asked for it, because that was not one of the two. I'm going to guess Family Ties.
The Family Ties game.
I was thinking Eight is Enough, which is that was too soon, or Partridge Family, which is also way too soon for Eight.
Right, but Rock Concert. But public television, that's what the dad did.
He
worked for the local station.
It, stock market clicked for me after whatever Bonesy or whatever the hell we got. Skippy.
Skippy. Bonesy.
I like it. All right. Tara.
Yeah.
1986 again.
Mm-hmm.
I object cards are special cards that can be played against opponents to try to prevent them from winning their case. Will your objection be sustained?
Yeah, I'll take the second hint.
An exciting game where the players are plaintiffs, trying to win cases by landing on case cards, such as problem pets, neighborhood feuds, disservices, and shoddy goods.
Right.
Is it the People's Court?
It is the People's Court for 1 point.
Awesome.
Wapner!
All right. For Sarah, question 12, after which we'll have our first score check.
Score break, Trip.
Oh, pardon.
He can say whatever he wants.
No,
he's in charge.
Well, we got branding to
I'm worry the about. Kingpin. I'm like Drew from Survivor.
Oh, God.
All right, 1987. Sorry, Sarah. Put the pizza spinner in the middle of the game board over the picture of the Technodrome.
Pizza.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pizza.
Stop helping.
I'm not. I'm musing.
Put this over the picture of the Technodrome?
Yes,
Max Headroom.
I have a guess.
I guess.
Is it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
It is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Pizza Power game.
87? I thought it was later than that.
Nope. No, me too.
Never mind.
All right.
That was also a great Public Enemy song. So, welcome to the
Technodrome. Okay. Sarah's looking to get on the board. Dave
has
one.
I'm going to take a green one to move me.
I have five.
I have one, right?
Yes, that's what he just said when you were talking over me.
All right. I like to add color. There's too many pregnant pauses during game time, usually.
All right. Well, then let's move it along.
We're thinking.
1987, Dave.
Yes. The year I was born,
this,
as a matter of fact.
This exciting game, because it says so, this exciting game takes you into the extravagant world of fabulous fortune and precious possessions.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, the game.
Yeah! In fact, it is called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, the game.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Did you actually have that game?
No, but I figured for a property like that, they would add the game at the end of it.
Yeah.
As opposed to the video and...
I'm actually giving you a trip point for
yes!
that. So. All right. All right, Tara,
yes.
1990.
Yes.
Your friends might bet against you and say, no way, man. But it takes just the right balance of cool and crazy to get ahead of your opponents.
Second hint, please.
Join America's nuttiest nuclear family in this fast-paced dice game where the biggest risks can really pay off.
Is it The Simpsons?
Yes, it is The Simpsons Don't Have a Cow dice game.
Of course.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, if I had said No Way Man a little different, it might have been a little too easy.
Do you remember the period of the Simpsons knockoff shirts where like Bart Simpson was like off color?
Yeah.
And
Vulture had a thing this summer because it was the 25th anniversary. It was like the 50 best bootleg Simpsons shirts.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, where are we here?
To Sarah.
Yes. Sarah, 1991. In Chicago, how many teens thought Brenda's parents were right to give Brenda a curfew when she goes out on a date?
In Chicago.
Well, how many?
Beverly Hills 90210.
Okay, wait, what was the question on the board game?
I'm sorry? How many teens thought Brenda's parents were right to give Brenda a curfew when she goes out on a date?
All right, let's hold that. I'll think about the answer for that as a side thing. All right.
Oh, and the answer is?
90210.
Yes. Yeah. The Beverly Hills 90210 survey game.
Now I see why I'm confused. Sarah's not in Chicago. She's in New York.
Oh, no, that was part of the question. The second one
was
in Orlando. How many teams?
Okay, I got it.
Yes. So it's like Family Feud, basically.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
All right.
On board. Woo!
All right. To Dave, 1991.
Yeah, year is one.
The owls are not what they seem.
The owls are not what they seem?
That is correct.
If I had a nickel.
Owls are not 91. Owls. Shit,
People are throwing things at their phones.
They really are.
Is this obvious?
Yes.
That line is either you know it or you don't.
You've watched the show.
Oh, no.
Do you want the second hint?
Give me 1 second. Owls. Knows the answer to this. Not me. Second clue, please.
Okay.
Get out.
Weave your way through the web of premonitions and dreams, donuts and cherry pie, deciphering the cryptic clues as you go.
I don't remember owls on that.
On what, Dave?
On Twin Peaks.
Yes, the Twin Peaks murder mystery game.
I hope they update that game for
the owls are not what they seem is that was just a famous line from the show.
Yeah.
So. All right, to Tara with number 17.
Spread eagle.
Thank you. Everybody. God, I've always wanted to do that. 1992.
Yep.
Oh, you get an easy one.
Oh.
Welcome to Bayside High, the totally cool school where having fun rules.
Oh, God.
Is it Saved by the Bell?
It might be. But again, I just want to read the second clue here.
Okay.
Every school has a principal, and Bayside High's is Mr. Belding. He's totally cool. Not.
Oh.
And totally in control. Not.
Oh, a double indictment of Principal Belding.
It is the Saved by the Bell game.
Yes.
All right.
Do you get that point?
What is going on?
Right. Playing mind games with Ariana.
Is it working?
No. All right, we're to Sarah. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
1993. Let the smell of overheated engines, the scream of saber saws, and the flash of blowing fuses get your adrenaline flowing.
Second hint, please.
A handyman draws a power card when landing on a power square and follows the instructions given.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What year was this?
1993.
I have a guess.
Home Improvement?
Ding, ding.
Not just Home Improvement. It's Home Improvement, the hilarious handyman game.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
So we are at...
Somebody emailed me the other day to say that they didn't realize that was from a song, and they heard the full song on the radio the other day in their free time.
Whoa, that would be very disturbing.
It is very weird to hear that song on the radio now.
That song is, it freaked me out. I'm sure I said it on the old podcast, but yeah.
So today, 1993, place the shields and engines label under the three indicator holes to the right center on each of the three consoles.
That's what she said.
One more time, please.
1993. Place the shields and engines label under the three indicator holes to the right center on each of the three consoles.
This has potential to be generic, but I'm going to go for the 2-point grab and say Star Trek Next Generation.
Hey!
It is Star Trek, The Next Generation, a game of trivia, exploration, and discovery.
Exploration of your colon.
Yeah, and your indicator holes.
Oh, tell me more, Tara.
And your console.
All right, 1999, Tara.
Okay.
The game tested how much the boys and girls knew about each other through hilarious and thought-provoking ancient history, fears and peeves, it's all relative, and literature questions. And I'm just going to go ahead and put my finger on the ding button here.
It is Friends.
It's the Friends game. Thank you, Picky.
Thank you, Picky.
It's
rigged.
pretty much. All right, to Sarah, 2000. Camera cards may catch any player doing something best not done in public.
Portholes. What was it? Access holes.
Indicator.
Fill them up.
Second hint, please.
Sticky situations, secret votes, and surprises galore. Be the last one left in the house and win.
In the house.
Anyone?
Is it Big Brother?
It's Big Brother the game.
I'm surprised there was a game that early, because I feel like that was the first, but I guess it was in England.
Yeah, I mean, they'd already had a Survivor game by that point, so why not?
Right.
All right, the next question, the year 2000, Tara?
Nope,
me.
To Dave.
It's the year I was born.
But Tara will know. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, 2000. Which villain and his minions will plague the town? The Master, the Judge, the Mayor, or Adam?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the game. All right.
I'm getting the feeling that this game was won or lost in the early portions.
One never knows. Anything can happen in game time.
All right. Not really.
Yeah, well, we have to believe. All right. 2001, Tara.
Yep.
With the help of a white lighter, Leo, they must do all that is in their power to destroy each demon and try to save the Book of Shadows.
Charmed.
Charmed, the Book of Shadows.
What happened to that remake they were doing about Charmed?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Could still be in the works.
Yeah.
You're interrupting game time.
Sorry.
2003, Sarah, after which we will do a score break as we have it here. Do you prefer Chinese, French, Italian, or how about Japanese? It all begins when the surprise ingredient is revealed.
Iron Chef.
Nice.
Iron Chef board game, the ultimate cooking challenge.
Chinese? Those people are all gristle.
All right, and Tara, where's the thing here?
Okay. Sarah has 5, Dave has 8, I have 12.
Bullshit! How many more questions we got?
We're 2/3 of the way through the game. We have another 12 questions.
Still anyone's game.
Anything can happen, like I've been saying. All right. To Dave, right? Yes?
No. Yes. Okay. Dave.
2005, Dave. A usual day in this neighborhood of perfect houses begins with a secret and ends with a scandal.
What's the year?
2005.
I'm going to throw a 2-point Hail Mary out. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm going to guess Desperate Housewives.
Is it?
Yeah!
It is the Desperate Housewives Dirty Laundry Game.
That's my favorite Eagles song.
I don't know. You were born by then? Tara, 2005.
Yep.
Behind the sun, surf, and palm trees lurks a darker world.
Dave just threw something at me, for real.
I heard it.
That was her answer.
A darker world behind the blah de blah.
Sun, surf, and palm trees, yes.
Right. The OC? Damn!
No, that is CSI, Miami, the game.
Oh. Makes sense.
Yeah. That's why I put it in. All right, Sarah, 2006. Take shell spaces for shortcuts, but don't get stung by the giant jellyfish.
Uh-huh. I got it. I know it.
SpongeBob Square Game.
Close enough.
Yeah!
SpongeBob SquarePants Great Jellyfish Escape Game.
What I would have loved if the answer to that was Baywatch.
I looked for a Baywatch game. I really did.
I was thinking Lost. I was way off.
All right. So, 2007, Dave.
Boy, I was born that year, actually. I was going to say.
This gag never gets old. Okay, 2007.
Yeah, it does.
Do sharks prefer certain colors over others? Does eating turkey really make you sleepy?
That's it?
Does it?
One more time, please.
Do sharks... 2007.
Yeah.
Do sharks prefer certain colors over others? Does eating turkey really make you sleepy?
Shit. Give me the second clue.
Distinguish fact from fiction. Use sound to detect differences and search for visual clues to mysteries in this awe-inspiring game based on the wildly popular series on the Discovery Channel.
Sarah knows it.
Yep.
Discovery Channel. You know it, Sarah? It's got sharks, and then it's got turkeys. It's not Turkey Shark, because that was a year earlier. Discovery.
Fact. Fiction.
Fact and fiction.
Yeah, yeah, hurry up.
Hang on.
Man, he's milking this contestant thing here, isn't he?
No, I just, I feel like I maybe should know, but I don't really follow.
3 seconds. Shark quiz.
Sarah?
Mythbusters.
It's Mythbusters.
The Mythbusters. Oh, I didn't realize that was Discovery.
It is the Mythbusters DVD game.
Nah. Never watched an episode.
All right. 2007. Perhaps my favorite question.
Okay.
All right. Pose. Do the sparkle. Now the air guitar. Attitude looks so good on you. If it helps, pose is in all capitals, and sparkle, air guitar, and attitude are all in quotation marks.
So, obvious when you think about it.
Yeah.
There.
So, pose, do the sparkle, now the air guitar.
Imagine, okay. Imagine sharks.
Attitude looks so good on you.
Is it Hannah Montana?
Yeah. It is.
Wow.
Pose made me think Top Model, but then
I like how Tara gets the extra hints.
What?
What on earth are you talking about? Just because I gave her a piece of paper.
And he was dancing while he did it. He did. He posed. He did a little... I wasn't looking at him. He did it.
Well,
I'm going to send this...
Well, you started the whole dancing thing.
I'm going to send this to committee after the game.
Now you know what it's like.
All right. Sarah, 2008. Best boss mug, : Michael will give you instructions that may have either a positive or negative outcome on your game.
The Office US.
The nice. Office DVD board game is correct.
Remember
for 2 points.
DVD board games?
Yeah.
God.
Okay, to Dave. 2008. The thrill of victory. The agony of two left feet.
Oh. Dancing with the Stars? Question mark. The
game. Dancing with the Stars! Exclamation point.
Oh.
Dancing with the Stars card game.
Oh.
Because if anything cried out to be a card game, please, it's a show about dancing.
Please tell me that's like Magic the Gathering, but with... Dance with the Stars.
There seem to be like hit points and stuff, so yes.
Oh. Astral Two Step.
Okay, Tutara, 2009.
Yep.
But remember, there's a price to pay to be a part of my world. Never have I ever played a game this good before. You know you love me.
Oh. Gossip Girl?
That is the Gossip Girl Never Have I Ever game.
Hmm. Ooh.
So. To Sarah, yeah. After which we'll have our final score break.
Yep.
2009. How much do you really remember about the Lice Capades, Elementary School Musical, or Chin Pokemon?
Oh, yeah.
It might be the answer is nothing. I don't know.
Nothing. Can I have the second hint, please?
Relive your favorite misadventures of the raunchiest fourth graders on TV.
South Park?
Yeah. South Park, the totally sweet DVD trivia game, is correct.
Nice.
So let's see here. Final score check before our last round.
Okay, Sarah has 10, Dave has 12, I have 16.
Okay, so we'll just play this out because, you know, we can. So, Dave, your final question, 2010.
Oh, yeah.
Fill your hold with, quote, red gold.
Was that hold?
Hold.
Okay. Continue. I just making sure because I heard something
else. It doesn't get much better than that. Yeah. Fill your hold with red gold, then return to port.
Oh, shit, why not? Deadliest Catch.
It is nice. The Deadliest Catch Sea Adventure game.
Red
nice job.
Gold, God.
Yar.
I was about to say something really vile, but I'm not going to.
I can't believe we got through that without it. That's what she said.
You okay. Bring the gold. I'll bring the red.
All right.
Doesn't even make sense. It still is gross somehow.
Right? It's because, yeah. Skeevy pirate voice makes everything gross.
2013.
Yes, sir.
All right. Spot the genuine quotes from among the decoys to score.
I'll spot ye genuine quotes.
Can I have the second hint, please?
There actually was a clue in that, even though it sounded like there wasn't.
Okay.
Guess the...
Oh, no.
Guess the missing words in ridiculously funny quotes by Willie, Phil, Uncle Cy, Jace, and the rest of the crew.
Gross. Is it Duck Dynasty?
Duck Dynasty Redneck Wisdom Game. See the decoys?
Yeah.
How's that not a DVD game?
Okay, and our final question. 2014, Sarah. The law is always watching, Sarah. Keep the heat off your back. Keep your illicit activities quiet. And keep your members out of jail.
Your members.
I don't write them, I just read them.
We call it the brig. But your members always welcome there.
Sons of Anarchy?
Nice.
Sons of Anarchy, Men of Mayhem is correct. Oh, all right, so what's the final score, Tom?
Final score, Sarah 12, Dave 14, me 17.
Okay, well, I do have a tiebreaker question, so we'll do it for shits and giggles.
Okay.
This is worth 3 trip points, which with mainland to Hawaii conversion is worth 1 Dave point.
All right.
I will read the first clue, and then if nobody gets it, I'll read the second clue. If you buzz in and are wrong, wait till everybody's gone.
I just want to say, it's not that Dave points are inherently more valuable. It's just been a lot of trip speculation lately.
This is true. I can't deny it. All right, so here we go.
Yeah.
2014.
Mm-hmm.
Assassinations, wiretapping, and undercover work.
Homeland?
Tara's
Scandal.
Out.
Scandal?
It's up to Dave. I'll read the whole thing for Dave.
Yar!
Assassinations, wiretapping, and undercover work are the hallmark of any good spy agency, which is why you won't find any of those things in this game.
Oh, it's obviously All in the Family.
Okay, everybody's in.
Is it Archer?
It's Archer. Archer, the Danger Zone board game. And so that is 5 wins for Tara.
I'm not singing this time.
Nothing's ever gonna keep it down. Nah, something's changing places.
What fun that was.
Yeah, thank you, Trip. What a nice surprise.
Glad you liked it.
That was a lovely surprise. Till it all went horribly in C-17.
Well, yep. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We sacked up for a discussion about the latest ballsy season of Survivor. We're going around the dial with stops at Scandal's Shitty Kids, South Korea's The Genius, The Good Wife, and Read All About It. Liv gave us a quick report on the Disaster Fairy episode of Face Off. Trip unsuccessfully pitched us Will and Grace's Von Trapped for the Cannon. We crowned winners and losers of the week. And Tara was the winner of this week's special Game Time and the winner of this season. So we'll see you back for a new Game Time season sometime in
November.
Early December, late November?
Yep.
Remember.
We're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano,
Red Gold,
Yar, Sarah D. Bunting.
Snuff this.
And don't forget about Trip Pain.
It's time for you to go.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Grape.
Three bags of balls.